Hi, Chris Valentin here. Welcome to my podcast, where I hope to inspire you to transform the world within you and transform the world around you.
The conversation you're about to listen to came from a Q&A session on my social media platforms. I hope you enjoy today's episode.
Well, we're going to talk about moral revolution probably for the month. We just finished out talking about empowering women, fashion to reign, and I wrote a book called Moral Revolution. I don't know if we have that book here. But
sold
that book out many years ago. I wrote a book called Moral Revolution, and that actually inspired us to start an organization called Moral Revolution, in which we're dedicated that organization to talking about healthy sexuality, and actually especially pointed at the youth and now Gen Z. We started before Gen Z, but now we're aiming it at Gen Z and just talking about healthy sexuality, because it feels like the church is reacting to perversion but not actually talking about the right version. So I want to first of all encourage you to get the book Moral Revolution. I believe I did an audiobook on that too, so you can listen to that. And today I have the leaders, actually these are our new leaders of Moral Revolution, Daniel and Ellis. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having us, Chris. It's an honor.
And you guys have been leading Moral Revolution for what, about 3 months now?
Yeah, closer to 5 or 6.
Closer to 5 or 6 months. That's so good. And so I want to talk a little bit about Moral Revolution and about the difference. Like when I wrote the book Moral Revolution, which was probably, I think the first draft of that was like 17 years ago or something like that. Maybe 15 years ago, I wrote one little section on homosexuality in there. Like, actually, there's one paragraph on homosexuality. And now, if you wrote a book on sexuality and you didn't talk about homosexuality, transgenderism, pansexuality, all these different identities, you wouldn't have a relevant book to this generation.
Exactly.
So we've seen some big transitions in Gen Z. Now we have Gen Z, right? It was
correct.
The Xers, the Boomers, the Xers, and now
Millennials.
The Millennials, yeah. They brought the book. There's the book right there. There it is with the, I think this is the fourth cover. We keep changing the cover.
Keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, keeps getting better and better. But what do you see has changed in the world of, morality, really, with the Gen Zers, and how do you reach that generation?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that there certainly has been a decay of morality, and it's unfortunate. And so, you wrote the book 17 years ago.
Yeah.
And what's happened in 17 years? I mean, 17 years ago, you're right, gay marriage wasn't even legal.
No.
And if you were to broach that conversation today with someone about the morality of even gay marriage, the unfortunate part is, so many even Christians would be like, I mean, I don't know, let them do what they're going to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that just goes to show the effect on culture, on the conversation of sexuality, which is why we feel, we really have to step in and begin just pointing people to God's word. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is, if your moral compass is rooted in politics or in policy or in influencers' opinions, then you will be shifted back and forth by every new wave of ideology that comes. But whenever we as believers anchor ourselves in the Word of God, then we're standing on a firm foundation that will transcend the generations. And so I feel like the first part of this conversation is going back to the design of sexuality in the Bible, which is here today, here tomorrow, and will be forevermore.
Yeah.
So I think that that's where we've got to start.
I'll also say, we were recently at an event with some high schoolers, and we had a pastor who was seasoned, come up to us before we got on stage, and he said, "What are you guys talking about today?" He didn't realize we were from Moral Revolution.
Oh, gosh.
Boy, will you be surprised.
Shockaroo time.
That's right. And we were like, well, we're talking about sex. And he was like, go for it. I'm here for you, behind you, here to support. And he said, back in my day, and he's probably in his 60s now, and so he's like,
young man,
bright future.
Yeah,
bright future. Way to go, guys. Yeah. You know your boss is in the room.
That's right. That's right. And he said, you know, back in my day, if we made mistakes, we at least knew what right and wrong were.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If we were going to cross the line, we knew the line had been crossed. And he said, what we're facing today with younger generations is that as culture has shifted, they don't even know what's right and wrong.
Yeah.
Totally.
And so that is an entirely new, that's even shifted since we were teenagers.
Right,
in the last 10 years, I would say if we had crossed a line, we knew what was right and wrong. And so I think it really goes to show how much culture has shifted. And, you know, when it comes to younger generations and sharing the truth, I think Gen Z and Gen Alpha, they want the truth.
Yes.
They respect
people who
say, this is what I believe.
Yeah.
I live what I believe. And even if they don't agree with you, they're very respectful of people who
truly
have conviction.
Truly.
And so...
I feel like as millennials, we were largely like people pleasers. We were crowd pleasers. We grew up in a maturing age of social media, or an inaugural age of social media, where we learned a post development that it's like, wait, we're here for the likes. Mm. We're here for the comments. And I speak not to us specifically, but to the culture at large.
Yeah.
And Gen Z saw that. Mm-hmm. And they saw, you guys are living and dying by how shiny your pictures are, by how many likes you can get. I'm going to post a picture of a crack on the sidewalk and post it because I don't care what you think.
Yeah.
And whenever someone shows up with authenticity, that's when you gain respect.
Yeah.
And so I feel like as we're approaching a new generation of people who are truly curious about what is right, what is wrong, what is wise, and what is unhealthy, then I think, you know, we're in a good place to point them to the truth of God's word, and they'll respect it, I think, far, far easier than they'll reject it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I had Jimmy Darts on. I don't know if you guys
love
know Jimmy Darts, but he's kind of crazy.
Yeah, he is.
He's a graduate of our school ministry.
And it shows.
He was even crazy when it was our school ministry.
Yeah.
But, you know, and he's really reaching, well, every demographic and every obviously, he's reaching Gen Z for sure.
Yeah.
Right. And I asked him on our cultural catalyst, I said, what do you think about morality and you know, the Gen Zs and how, you know, what's going on with the you know, the decay of morality? And he's so funny. The only way he can say it, he said, oh, well, what's happening is that, people are watering down morality. And he said, Gen Z, they want the truth. And he said, they don't need a watered down gospel. They don't need a watered down, you know, they don't need you to smooth it over or to try to like, well, you know, you might be right. And we might. And I thought, well, here's a guy that's actually got millions of people on his on his social pages.
Yes.
He's got the likes. He's got the, and he said even in his interview, he's going to be married. I think he might be married. This got married last week or something.
Yeah.
But he's been going with this gal for like 5 years, and he said the Lord told me that I'm not to kiss her till we get married.
Wow.
So this is his. This is his morality. He's like not only I'm not having sex with her, like I'm not kissing her until we get married.
Incredible.
And he's like, I feel like people are looking for something to die for. They're not looking for you know, a Jell-O message. They're looking for something that's solid that they can stand on.
I feel like you said something in a message recently. I think it was on a Sunday, and I was like, I'm stealing that. I'm gonna take that. And
which
that.
We do often.
That's good.
This is for podcast.
You guys
here
going
because
for a raise
five
already?
One C3.
I've been here 3 months.
Oh my gosh. But you made a comment about the father of the prodigal son.
Yeah.
And you said he didn't turn his house into a brothel trying to lure his son back.
Yeah, that's right.
He was ready and waiting with open arms, and he personified, you know, a father's love, but he didn't compromise his own home to make allowances for the son.
Yeah.
And so when you talk about a watered down gospel or a watered down truth, that's what I see that in our culture of Christians or even the church at large saying, well, we'll try and cater to this and we're going to try and skirt around this issue.
Oh, yeah.
And And I think that people lose respect rather than gain respect right. in that process.
Yeah, you know, the challenge is that, you know, we've been having some other dialogues around a different subject, but, you know, the church should be a place where sinners come and feel welcome.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, they should come and feel welcome, and like all of us, they should feel convicted of their sin, right? I mean, all of us, like all of us. Like if I'm lying, I haven't treated my wife well, whatever. I come into the worship and the Holy Spirit's like, he's like, you can worship here, but you need to make it right with your wife, right? So, I mean, I'm not just talking about.
What's like, that line?
Yeah, you guys are newlyweds, so we'll have a conversation offline if you don't mind. But my point is that we want to be able to speak the truth in love.
Yeah.
We want the church to be a place where we can talk about not just the perversion, but the right version of sexuality.
Right.
We don't want to be reactionary, but we also want to say to the the pornographer, you need to repent.
Right.
To the adulterer, you need to repent. To the fornicator, you need to repent.
Right.
To the liar, to the cheater, to the to the homosexual, like you need to repent because repentance is how we actually come into relationship with God and how we grow our relationship with God. The challenge is, and this is the question to you and to us, how do we bring the truth and still help the sinner and the broken and the hurting and the whoever, like the people who maybe don't feel that they're righteous? And I'm not saying, we're not saying they're righteous, but they don't feel they're righteous, feel welcome.
Right. Well, one of the things that I kind of discovered in my years of youth ministry is that people will gravitate to the highest level of love. Whoever is offering them the most love is the attention that they is where they will give their attention. And, you know, as we talk to pastors, we say, guess what? If you're not willing to love the sinner, I know a bar down the street that will.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to love the sinner, there's a strip club that's trying to do it every day.
Yeah.
And so we as the church, and now this isn't, what's upsetting about this is it's no longer a box that we can check. It's a culture and a reality that we have to live. Yeah. Where I have to have a deep conviction of loving sinners, just like Jesus did. That is, I feel like it can only be an overflow of true love and intimacy with God, where I love sinners and they're drawn to me because they know they're safe. Yeah. And it's in that safety of love where I can speak into those situations that are really going to be offensive to their lifestyle. One of the things that I appreciate is, you know, we've all been through many different church environments, is that I think we do this well. I walk in and I don't feel people are measuring in the room, but I feel like people are there with an open arms. And so I think the great thing about that is each one of us on this live right here have a responsibility, and it's to be loving, and it's to be open armed, and it's not to be permissible or allowing of sin, but it's to be so full of love that someone would feel safe enough to get close enough for you to be able to whisper in their ear, you know, God has so much more for you than this.
You know, I think that if we could, and I'll say people, I include myself.
Right.
If we could understand that sin is an enemy to humanity. Yeah. It's an enemy.
It is.
It's like smoking. It's like, oh, it feels so good. It relieves my nerves, whatever. Well, it's actually killing you.
Correct.
It's actually killing you. And you know, we've seen in that area of smoking, I'm not calling smoking a sin or not a sin. I'm talking about it is a violation against your body.
Yeah.
It's against your body,
carcinogenics,
right?
In the lungs.
Exactly. And we're seeing that, you know, literally millions of people have actually caught that truth and said, oh, what I find pleasure in is actually killing me.
Smoking is out.
Yeah, smoking is out, right? It's really out.
But I think vaping is in. I don't know as much about vaping, yeah, but that, I don't vaping either. Perchance could be.
Now you're destroying my illustration. Because
no, but you're right. There's an exodus of people using cigarettes because of the knowledge of
They've
what it does
convinced.
To your body.
They've been convinced that it is actually harmful to them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when I was a kid, that was the cool thing. Mm. Like, it wasn't just about the pleasure of it. It was actually about the belonging of it.
Right.
Well, like that behavior caused me to belong to a certain crowd. Mm. Mm. You know, and we were the rebels, and we were the crowd, and we were the hip kids. Mm-hmm. And not realizing that belonging, that sense of belonging sent me to the wrong place.
It came at a cost.
Came at a huge cost. Yeah. And ultimately, it cost to my lungs and it cost to my life. My mother died of lung cancer, smoked since she was 16. But my point is that we could see that immorality, that impurity, that cheating, lying, all of these things that, you know, bitterness, hatred,
right.
self-righteousness, like
right.
these things, they rot you from the inside out. Mm. And the Pharisees, they weren't necessarily adulterers or fornicators, but there, Jesus said, you are whitewashed tombs full of dead man's bones. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you look good on the outside, like you got a facelift.
Yeah.
You know, you're using Botox, like you look good, but you are rotting from the inside out.
Yeah.
Right.
And whether it's the sin of self-righteousness and religion, or whether it's the sin of homosexuality, adultery, fornication, like, it does rot you from the inside out. Mm. And you might be in the in crowd, but it is costing you to be in that crowd.
Right. Mm. Ellis read to me, or was sharing a story with me just probably yesterday or the day before, about the statistics of the life expectancy of people who are in the porn industry. Mm. And I'll let you speak to it because I don't really remember details very well. But
I don't remember the exact statistic, but there's a guy named Joshua Broom who's been on the More Revolution podcast previously. Yeah. And he was a porn star and now is a pastor. And so I saw a clip of him saying, every single one of my roommates, 30-something roommates, with the exception of one who was in the industry, is now dead.
Wow.
And we can't hear something like that and think, oh, this is good for people, or not even good for people. Oh, this is harmless.
Right.
This is very harmful. And right now
we're just talking about the physical death of the human.
Yes.
We're not even talking about the ramifications to families, the ramifications to daughters and sons and to husbands and wives, what porn addiction does to people.
Yeah. Mm. I had a friend, we were talking about some of these issues, and she said, I think if Christians actually believed that transformation was possible for sinners, that we would be screaming this from the rooftop.
Yeah.
And the only reason that we see our society in moral decay is because Christians have lost faith that actual true transformation from the inside out is possible. Mm. Because if we did believe that, if we didn't believe it was some sort of pick yourself up and, you know, muster all of your strength to just fight every day for a chance at freedom. But if we actually believed, no, if you will give your life to God, He will transform you from the inside out. There's no way we would be quiet about these things.
Yeah, I've said it several times, but, you know, when it comes to the destruction of children, you know, the Lord is really, He talked about it'd be better for you not to be born.
Right.
And cause one of these little ones to be offended. And we're seeing a generation that's being mutilated in the name of what? Inclusion.
Yeah.
Which is incredibly sad, because, you know, we're doing things to children that without a miracle it's irreversible.
Truly, mm-hmm.
We're giving puberty blockers. We're cutting off their breasts. We're cutting off their penises, and this is not like this sounds like shock news, right? It sounds like clickbait, but it's actually happening every day.
It doesn't seem real because it's that insane.
It's that
like,
insane.
Why would we ever do this? Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I feel like that. The reality of that happening and the pervasiveness of hearing about even the regrets of people who are further down the road is, I feel like, half of what got us in this position.
It is.
Because of an experience that Ellis had processing this with the Lord. And so, you know, it's so unfortunate. And it's It's absolute insanity. And I feel like maybe it was you, maybe it wasn't you, and maybe I'm blurring the lines a little bit, but I feel like I heard you say that in the future,
yes,
we're going to look back at what we're doing with you know, sexual mutilation, genital mutilation, and be absolutely appalled that that was ever legal.
Yeah.
That there is a revelation coming even to culture about the barbaricness and insanity that is transgenderism.
Well, even Europe has started to roll back their laws that are allowing minors to transition.
I know, and they were leading us.
They were. And they got further down the road than we did, and they say nothing good is coming from this, and they repealed it. And yet in America, we've got a culture that's saying, go for it, full steam ahead. And ultimately, we just kind of decided, man, that's not okay. That's not okay with us.
Right.
Like, we're going to have kids, you know, hopefully in the next few years, and they're going to be raised in a completely different environment than we were raised in.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that's not okay with me.
You know, 15 years ago, I had a vision.
Mm.
And in that vision, you know how when you're watching TV and there's an advertisement for hey, if you use this substance, you know, like if you took this medication or you use this this thing on your plants, you know, that, you know, call this number. Because they're you know, and there's class action suits against all of these different drug companies and these chemical companies that said, yeah, you can spray this on your plants and there's nothing, you know. And I saw it said in the vision, it said, if you have been the victim of transgendering and you were told this by your doctor and this by your psychiatrist, call this phone number. And I saw in the vision, I saw thousands and thousands of class action lawsuits against doctors, against insurance companies, against psychologists and psychiatrists, against school counselors who had encouraged young people to actually transgender and who are now facing the violation of their bodies. And, you know, we have a whole movement that's flowing out of more revolution called the change movement, right?
Okay.
And these are people that were formerly homosexuals or formerly transgender people who've now, you know, they're further down their journey and they're like, oh, this is a lie. Like, this didn't make me happy.
Right.
This didn't cure me from being self-destructive or suicidal. And now I have no breasts or I have no penis or I've taken puberty blockers to the place where it's destroyed my, you know, my whole hormonal system. So I think that we're going to see a radical shift in morality. And just talk for a couple of minutes about what you guys are doing in More Revolution. What can people expect?
Yeah, I think whenever we showed up and we had these early meetings with you, I feel like the burden that the Lord put on our heart is that Gen Z wants the truth.
Yes.
And so our mandate for the foreseeable future is to exhaust any means possible to get Gen Z the truth in the most beautiful and palatable way that we can within our power do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, our we're talking to high schools, which, let me tell you, tough crowd.
How's you, Pastor, 14 years? I've prepared me for anything else.
Exactly. We're talking to high schools. We're creating content. We're putting podcasts out. We're putting courses out. We're you know what? One of our huge goals is to even expand where we're showing up on social media.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you know, bringing it back to even the transgender conversation, you know, 30% of Gen Z identifies on the LGBTQ spectrum. 30%, as opposed to millennials who were closer to a 10% mark. Well, you can't look at the disparity between those two numbers and say that there's not a social contagion element involved.
Yes.
And so we're like, okay, well, if you know what the LGBTQ community is great at? Showing up on social media.
Exactly.
and so why shouldn't we, who carry the living word of God and the revelation of God's goodness and God's love and God's restoration for humanity, show up just as powerfully on social media?
Totally.
So that's what, I mean, we're on all fronts.
Here. Yeah.
How can they connect with you guys?
At Moral Revolution. That's our main page, and Instagram right now is kind of our central location. And yeah, if you find us there, you'll certainly see our diversification in the upcoming months.
But we also have a podcast called Let's Talk About It, where we talk about any single question that a person dealing with anything as in terms of sexuality, purity, dating, relationships, anything that, you know, is encompassed in healthy sexuality, we go for it on the podcast.
And be ready, because it's hey parents, it's real. It's real.
It is very real.
Yeah. Well, hey, we'll see you next week. We'll be doing this subject. We'll be working on this subject all month long. So please bring your questions. We didn't get to any questions today, but we'll be talking about some questions and doing some answers. We'll be answering some questions. We hope we'll be answering some questions.
Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. To stay connected, you can sign up for my weekly newsletter at chrisvalentin.com/subscribe. God bless you.